to Matthew chapter 6. As we continue in the Lord's Prayer with the petition, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I'll read from verse 5 through 13 of Matthew 6. So let's give our attention to God's holy word. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things which you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless both the preaching and the hearing of your word, and that we would seek out your will, that we would be doers of your will, that we would delight in your will, and that we would submit to your will. So bless us through the instruction now, Lord, we pray, and may you give us the gift of the Holy Spirit to understand and to do. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this petition in many ways doubles as a declaration of faith. Christians praying this petition, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," do state their faith and therefore trust in their God and Savior. And so "your will be done" is a request. It's a petition before the Lord. It's a confirmation that our God is most wise, and he never makes a mistake, nor fails in his promises. So we have this urge for God's will to prevail. Now, there are two wills of God in the world, in the universe, for that matter, and they work together. The revealed will is found in print in every sound Bible. The commandments, the gospel, and the promises that are stated in some are the revealed will of God in print. The scriptures primarily teach us what we should believe concerning God. In fact, we have a short catechism question early on. Number 3, what do the scriptures principally teach? Answer: the scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. So, no way of saying teaches God's will. There is another question, 100 questions later, 103. What do we pray for in the third petition? That's where we're at now. In the third petition, which is "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," we pray that God, by his grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things, as angels do in heaven. So just to touch upon some of the proof texts. So the first one that ends with we pray for God's grace to enable us to do and know and obey his will. what we sang from Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. So that would, you know, be definitely part of this petition we are praying. And then we say in Psalm 119, which is another proof text, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. That is God's will for you to obey the commandments or the law. They also do no iniquity. That's God's clear revealed will in Scripture as well. Do not sin. They walk in his ways. We have that in Psalm 1. We have the good shepherd. There's many passages that point us to this. Thou hast commanded us to keep the precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I be ashamed. Then I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned all righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And then etc. And of course, that's the whole tone of Psalm 119. And then we have Hebrews 13, that benediction, which you will hear later, which says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. How more specific can we get? Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's a fulfillment of God's will in his people's lives. And then a matter about the angels in Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21. Blessed the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commands. Of course, it's talking about the holy angels. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. And so, may his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, so we talk about revealed will. Now, there is the other will of God, which is the secret will of God. And we've talked about this before. This would be how God works his decrees. Not just only through creation, but through providence. We have the unfolding of God's providence, and then we'll find the full story in heaven, but sometimes we have glimpses of how God's secret will indeed is fulfilling his revealed will. And this is quite amazing of our most sovereign and wise God, because he'll use even the actions of the unsaved, the rebellion of the wicked, as part of his secret will to accomplish his revealed will. And so we have to understand that secret will is unfolding, but we do not seek to do the secret will, but only the revealed will. Because the secret will is just providence unfolding. So the revealed will is the written word, and that's what we focus upon. So when we know what God requires of us, we are seek to do it, to honor him. And we need to prepare our hearts. And this is why it is in the form of a prayer. You know, it's a means of grace. So we're seeking God's grace in all these petitions. Not just for us, but for others as well. So you seek the Lord in this prayer to soften your heart. And we all need more soft hearts. Circumstances should not dictate our affections to the Lord. And often you hear today, well, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like forgiving. I don't feel like loving so-and-so. I do not feel like doing that, which you say is my duty. But we need to do. We need to get our emotions in line with our actions, but we can't always wait upon our emotions. But both, whether our actions or our emotions, need God's grace. Think about Jeremiah the prophet, who faithfully preached year after year to rebellious Judah as the Babylonian army was approaching, and that they had destroyed every empire, every kingdom that stood in their way. But he was repeatedly, Jeremiah the prophet, told by the princes of Judah not to preach against Judah, not to preach about destruction and judgment coming, but preach peaceful words, words that the king would like to hear. And in fact, because of Jeremiah not obeying the words of men, but rather obeying the words of God, he was put in a dungeon. He was dropped down into the dungeon, where there was putrefied water and there's mud down there, and had very little food. He went without food for a time, and he was fearful that he was going to even die from hunger. But he would still only do God's will, God's revealed will, in order to bring forth blessing and repentance to Judah. Think of Paul, the apostle. As an apostle, he was mistreated by both passionate, misinformed Christians and unbelieving Jews alike. But he was obeying the Lord and preaching Christ and him crucified, focusing on those gospel truths and not giving in to false teachers. Paul perfectly understood why he suffered. What were the consequences of being faithful to the Lord? Why there was, you know, sometimes he was taken back by who betrayed him, but he was not really fully surprised that there was betrayal, even in the church. But he correctly exposes error. He correctly teaches and seeks to correct and show love. And you see this throughout his epistles. And this is why a true disciple of Christ does not rest in mere profession of faith. Christians are to be curious to know what is God's will. What does the Lord teach me? What does he teach the church? And we should desire greater and greater knowledge from the Holy Scriptures. Now, perhaps we have a tendency to be lazy. We live in more of a lazy world than a hardworking world these days. And we don't take every opportunity to read the Scriptures or study the Scriptures. But we should. And we need to. But if one does confess Christ and does not have curiosity and never, I say the word never, attempts to study Scripture to learn from the Bible, then that person not only can't pray this petition, but they should question, are they really in Christ? So our second point, one must be a doer of the word to honor Christ. Your works bear witness of God's grace in you. You seek to honor the Lord in works. You testify to the holy example of Jesus by living as he did, to have faith as he did on earth. And you want to bless others. And you want to bring truth. And you do not want to propagate that which is not truth. And that's why we need to be challenged in what we believe and what we are convicted. If somebody challenges you in your conviction, do not be offended. It should be tested and strengthened, perhaps corrected. We should have all of us a testimony in our life, if we've been a Christian for some time, that I used to have strong convictions in this area, then I found out over through teaching that this is not the correct position. And there's no shame. And it's honor to repent from that which is false. We want to seek to help others. We want to bear fruit in our life. We want to be known as those who seek to do the will of the Father. Now, we all know a child that refuses to honor their parents and dismisses the will of their earthly father do not show love, but contempt to their father. Such cannot serve the living God lest they be converted and repent and have a new heart that delights in the will of a greater father, the heavenly father. So this petition assumes a position of sanctification. And so we should be aware of that. A position of sanctification that has a burden to fulfill the call that is upon us to do good, to exercise faith in all situations, regardless. And for us to understand, whatever is not of faith is sin. So are you fulfilling God's will each day? Do you do so in private as well as in public? It does not matter. Obedience is required regardless. And for the Christian, not doing God's will causes more trouble for their conscience, which all of us can say a hearty amen to. Christ has made us to work. And the most glorious work is obedience to Him. Sadly, some people claim they are waiting on the Lord for guidance on whether they should do some good. Sometimes we do have to wait on the Lord. But often this is just used as an excuse for disobedience. Not doing what you know that is clearly revealed to you, but for some selfish reason, you are neglecting that duty. More often than not, we know God's will. We don't know what the future holds. That's a different question. We can never know what the future holds. But we can know what God's will is. If we know the commandments. If we know Christian ethics. We know to do good. To do right. And not to sin. It's pretty simple. But as been said, the greatest evil is when good people, and insert Christians, see evil and do nothing. And so idleness, especially in our spiritual life, is suicide. And it's displeasing the Lord greatly. So if we live contrary to our prayers, how do we expect the prayers to honor Christ? And so these petitions, all these petitions really put us in a place of obedience and reliance upon God, seeking either mercy or provision, forgiveness, or obedience. Not just in the world that we see, but in ourselves first. And so if you vow to accept the Lord's discipline, of course we heard a vow today on that order, if you're in need of it, then you must pray this prayer daily. Otherwise, we commit perjury against our vows. What you do or not do is very serious in your life. If you follow God's will, you follow God whom you confess. If you purposely go against God and His will, then by default, you only fulfill your will, but also Satan's will. Have you considered that? For the devil desires any and all things that are contrary to God's will. Satan wants to disrupt God's plans. Satan wants to disrupt the believer's life. He doesn't want you to have a life of faithfulness and devotion. He wants you to have a life full of sin and rebellion and doubt and everything that's contrary to the tenets of faith. Our rebellion supports the kingdom of darkness. Foolish Judas thought he was satisfying his monetary lust in betraying Jesus. Now he got his way. He got his 30 pieces of silver, but he fell into assisting the wicked one as well. Consider God's will for the sinner. I'm just going to read several verses to you. Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Yes, confessing your sin is part of God's will. That brings glory to Him. So do not stop doing that. Matthew 10, verse 32, 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Blessing for doing the will of God that praises God and honors God, and a curse for those who purposely rebel against God, or even if they do it in ignorance. Acts 15:11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Now you might say, well, that's a statement of faith. Yes, it is, but it's a statement of faith that believes in the will of God and the purpose of God and the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea 11:4, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from the neck. I stoop and fed them. This is God's character, God's mercy, God's forgiveness towards Israel. And it was extended to draw them back. And that was God's will. Luke 11:28, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now it is God's purpose to have a people for himself. These people are identified in the world in one part for their obedience to that will. Now think about it. Christian, if you're living like the world, if you're fitting in the world, doing your best to go with the flow, the world will accept you. They'll consider you one of their own. But if you're seeking to do God's will, you will stand out. John 15:9-10 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See where love is coming in? Abiding in Christ is abiding in his love. So knowing God and loving God is locked together. You don't care to know about God is due to you not really loving God. And that's a fearful place to be. Know the attributes of God, his faithful works in your life and throughout history. Recount those works. Know the gospel. So you can apply it to yourself and share it with others. The offer for reconciliation with Christ. What he has accomplished. Know that. Know the scriptures. Delight in what you do know already. And study him further. For out of love towards your God. Delight in what you can do. All the works you can do for the Lord. Now rebels resist conforming to God's will. The children of God delight to become more Christ-like. And this is why we want to know the will of God. More and more. We do not pray this prayer aright if we leave love for God out of it. Now the hypocrites are known for their lengthy discussion of theology, delighting in the wonders and miracles of Christ. Perhaps they will even talk about the greatness of the church at times, and the importance for others to trust in Christ and obey the Heavenly Father. But the hypocrisy comes out when they do not obey God's will. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so why is it that Christians do not read their Bible? Are not interested in a Bible study? Not to say we all can go to a specific Bible study, but we should want to know God out of a love for him. So knowledge equips faith. Ignorance weakens faith. A sober mind is given you. A sober mind to remember that we are to honor the Lord fully. Romans 14, 22, 23. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. And so, brothers and sisters, if you do anything, you think you're doing it because you're supposed to do it unto the Lord, make sure that Scripture teaches you that that is so. Remember, there is the regular principle of doctrine. And so we seek God's will, but we seek to know it in order to perform it. So the knowledge of the Great Commission has inspired countless millions of Christians, and think about it, over the many, many, many centuries, to share the gospel. And there's many incredible missionary stories of people who have left their homes, a secure, quiet, very blessed, comfortable home, and to go far away to bring the gospel and to endanger their lives and endure hardship after hardship and persecution after persecution in order to share the knowledge of God to others, that others may know the great love of Christ and his work of redemption. And so the Lord expands his church by people being driven with the knowledge of God, because they know the will of God to share the gospel with others. A wonderful way the Lord works. Doing the will of God brings happiness to you, regardless of the results and the consequences. That is true only for those who have a heart for God. Now, you commit yourself to live under the will of God and to perform it. Weekly, you will likely hear commentary by people, you don't have to go far, who want to change the civil laws, are calling upon the silence of the church, the doing away of public worship even. They'll call us puritanical. That's a negative term. The world uses it. And say we're oppressive. In short, they hate God. And they hate his will. And they hate the word. Because it all points to the same. They will never pray this petition. It will be anathema to them. The ugliness that sin has produced in the world, with all the perversion and violence and cruelty, is due to sin. To simply people not praying and not living in accordance with your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so our final point, accepting the whole counsel of God and his providence, regardless. Keep in mind, in praying this petition, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We affirm, we accept God's will everywhere. We also affirm God has his way in the end. Praise be to God. Nothing frustrates God's will. We all know that. And to that, the saints are to say amen as well. But do you really believe that? Nothing frustrates God's will. That doesn't mean we rejoice when iniquity abounds and when it is very public. We do not rejoice. We pray against sin. We pray against the influence of sin. But we will not be discouraged by sin or public sin, because we know it will not ultimately prevail in its plan against God. And you must believe that each and every day. And as we pray, again, do not speak about the enemy more abundantly than you speak of your Christ. He has overcome the world. Speak about him more abundantly, more frequently. So we do not question the goodness of God, nor doubt that things work out to our good, even though we don't know the details. The commandments pertain to all God's image bearers. So as we pray this petition, again, we're praying for those who are not even believers, who would refuse at this point to pray this prayer, but we're praying for them to do God's will in their life and receive salvation. In every situation of life, the privilege is to honor the Lord. And we as Christians do not make any exceptions. So we will be honest to our brothers and sisters in the faith, and we'll be honest to the most wretched unbelievers. We are to love our brethren, and we love our enemies, because that's God's will. God's not a respecter of persons, so neither will we. The parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us everyone we come in contact is our neighbor, and we should make efforts, even sacrificial efforts, to bless, especially in their time of desperate need. So in keeping this petition, we sincerely seek to fulfill our duties, whether we are a husband or a wife or a child, employer, employee, teacher, or student, elders, members of the church. And we patiently teach our children what is the will of God in Scripture. We pray that we would be faithful in the times of persecution, not to fail to do God's will. As it says, Matthew 5:10-12, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you might not fully realize the significance of your faith and work now, saints. But the fact that you have a heart and you pray for more of a heart to do the will of God brings praise in heaven. Glory to God. And blessing to you and to your families. By your honoring the Lord, you confess through your obedience and doing the works of the Lord that he has commanded, and you will have, even though you don't realize it, a great impact for the kingdom. Even after you depart this world, your heavenly homeland, and where you can rest with Christ, your works will still have an impact. The great vision in Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 through 13 declares, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Now, fallen angels have no opportunity to enjoy redemption. Their state is sealed in iniquity. But for the sinner who confesses Christ, their sins are washed completely away by the suffering and death of Christ, which was part of God's plan. You're with a new heart and given the opportunity to serve the Lord with rejoicing. You who believe are the doers of the word. Even hard scripture, even the scripture that rebukes you to the core, you know is God's will. And you will seek to do it because the Spirit works in you. Indeed, may we have faith that has works worthy of the name of Christ. So this is for your prayer. This is your petition to pray continually for Christ to give you that grace and that knowledge. Now, peace from God comes to those who live out God's will. Blessings are always attached to obedience. Not prosperity like monetary wealth, but peace for the soul. And the Lord blesses us in all blessings, you know, physical and spiritual. But by faith, We seek to fulfill God's will in this, your will be done. So you're not refusing to obey the Lord. You do not shrink from your duties. You know what lies ahead in any given day, because we have many duties, and brothers and sisters, many of them are mundane. They're not spectacular. It's not things that you would just share with, you know, what is new. Well, I did a lot of chores today. I went to work. Yeah. Did not steal. Did not lie. But when we're honest, we're going to be honest always. Even if it costs us money, to be honest. But we're going to delight in His will. Because the commands are not grievous, as it says in 1 John 5:2-3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Whereas the King James has it, grievous. So those who have a heart to please God, to ask the question, what must I do to be accepted by God or included in the church? Of course, that's two different questions. You follow the Lord. You think upon the Lord. You seek His will. You seek it out and delight in it. Again, love is the motivator in keeping this petition. So pray this petition with joy and bear fruit that you would do His will on earth as it is in heaven. Another comment about in heaven, as we think about both the holy angels and the rebellious angels, remember the account in the early part of Job, that Satan is there in heaven. He's coming with the redeemed, the sons of God, as they present themselves before God. And of course, why is he there? Because he wants to accuse. He's always seeking to accuse. And so he's accusing, he's ready to accuse, and God sets up Job to be an example of faith. But Satan wants to do much harm to Job, but he's restricted by what God's will is. You can touch everything he has. Don't touch him. And now you can affect his health, but don't take his life. So even the rebellious demonic angels, in the end, have to do God's will. Although they're in rebellion against him, and they have no love for God. But the holy angels always do God's will perfectly, with delight and praise and thanksgiving and honor. But we know that Satan is not in heaven anymore, neither are the demonic. They have been cast out through the ascension of Christ. And so heaven is set forth as an example now. God's will is done perfectly in harmony with all those there. And ultimately it will be done on earth to God's purpose. And so we should gain peace by following the Lord and fulfilling this petition as we pray it. We pray it, we believe in it, and we do it. But we need God's grace all the same. And so understand what is God's will for you, especially if you are a sinner, if you are not one who has confessed Christ. You know there is judgment awaiting for all who are sinners, but it is God's will to save sinners. He has called sinners to himself, to his son. And that it does extend forgiveness, but we must come with a broken, a contrite heart. So let us fall into the will of God. Let us pursue the will of God. Let us embrace the will of God. And let us continue to pray this petition. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we seek, Lord, that we would more and more understand the width and depth of this petition, that we would apply it to our life first and foremost, that we desire it in others as well, and that we would study your word, to know your word, to know your will, and to delight in it and to teach others as well. And so, Lord, bless us, whether we are single, whether we're head of our household, wherever we are in whatever station of life, may we honor you and glorify you. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.